Frank was sitting on the front porch of his house, drinking coffee and enjoying the cool of late afternoon. Wolf's head came up fast.
Good boy.
Frank was out of the chair instantly and in the house, hustling Wolf in with him. He grabbed his rifle and shoved Wolf behind the wood box.
Stay there. If somebody's sneaking up on us, I got me a pretty good idea who it is.
Wolf laid his head on his paws and stayed put, but his eyes were slit open and the hair remained standing on his back. Frank moved to the front of the house and chanced a peek out one of the few remaining windows with glass. He jerked his head back just as window glass shattered to the living room floor.
I think you lost your touch, Orin.
I'll get it back killing you, Morgan. You and me, we just getting started.
Then come on, face me, Orin.
I'd rather do it this way.
I'm sure you would. Coward's way is oftentimes the easiest way.
I know what you're trying to do, Morgan. It won't work. You can't make me mad enough to slip up.
Not trying to make you slip up, Orin. Telling the truth. It's known all over the West. You're a coward.
That's a damn lie.
I think it's the truth.
You go to hell, Morgan.
Frank had just about pinpointed Orin's location. But instead of chancing a shot that would probably miss, he decided to continue goading the back shooter.
Only a coward kills children, Orin. A coward like you. You're the lowest of the low. Wherever you go, you leave a trail of slime.
God damn you! Shut up, Morgan!
You crawl out from under a rock. That's where you make your home. You live in a pool of filth.
Shut the fuck up, Morgan!
What sort of night creature was your mother, Orin? Some sort of thing with no name?
My mama was a good woman, Morgan! Don't you be bad-mouthing her, you son of a bitch! I won't stand for that!
I hear you were born in a whorehouse. That's right, isn't it? It's true. You don't know who your daddy is, do you?
You're lying, Morgan! I'll kill you for saying that! My daddy loved my mama!
Much as a circus freak can love anyone. That's what the sideshow operator who got him out of an asylum told your mother, isn't it? That's right, isn't it, Orin? Your mother was a 50-cent whore, and your father was a sideshow freak.
Oh, damn you, Morgan! God damn you to hell! I'll skin you alive, Morgan!
What's the matter, Orin? It's not your fault you take after your whore mother and your freak father.
I'll skin you!
Orin jumped up, exposing his upper body.
God damn you,
Frank shot him again, the slug striking the man in the chest. Orin fell forward, landing on his face at the edge of the clearing. He jerked a couple of times, his hands digging in the dirt. Frank slipped out of the house, using the back door, and circled around, coming up on Orin from the timber. He watched the man until he was certain Orin Matheson was dead. Frank went through Orin's pockets and put the $2,500 into his own pocket, then found Orin's horse and tied the man belly down across the saddle.
Have a good trip back to the snake, Orin.
He slapped the horse on the rump and the animal galloped off. The snake horse would head for familiar pasture. Frank walked back into the house and set about making another pot of coffee. While the water was heating up, Frank set out a bowl of biscuits and meat scraps for Wolf and pumped fresh water for him. Frank took a cup of his fresh brewed coffee out onto the porch and sat down in his rocker. The sun was sinking into the far western horizon.
It's going to be a beautiful sunset.
The man known as the Drifter sat in his rocking chair, sipped his coffee, and listened to the glorious song of twilight. Frank rode into town the next day and deposited the $2,500 in his farm account.
Kids can use this to buy seed and equipment, or baby clothes and food. Whichever comes first.
A moment later, as he sat in John Simmons' office, Frank told the banker where he got the cash.
So, Orin Matheson is really dead.
Stiff as a board.
I'll bet the colonel is boiling mad.
He's gonna pull something very soon. You can bet on that.
You know he's hired a lot of those gunfighters who were dismissed from the Diamond 45 and the Lightning Ranches.
I heard. Doesn't surprise me a bit.
Sorry to bother you, Mr. Simmons and Mr. Morgan, but you both should see this. A whole bunch of riders coming into town.
Frank and John stepped out onto the boardwalk just as a dozen riders reined up in front of the general store. Frank personally knew one of them, a puncher-turned-gunfighter from Wyoming named Paul Robinson. Paul looked at Frank and held out his hands.
We're friendly and peaceful, Frank. Just come into town to buy supplies for the trail. Hell don't welcome us no more. We're not even going to have a drink before we leave. We quit this war.
Glad to hear it, Paul. Have an easy trail.
Thanks, Frank. You too. No hard feelings?
No, none at all.
Just a job, Frank. Nothing personal.
It's good enough for me, boys.
The riders dismounted, hung their gun belts on the saddle horns, and walked into the store.
The colonel still has a lot of gunmen riding for him.
Not as many as before. And these boys probably won't be the last ones to leave.
You'll be leaving shortly yourself?
In a few more days.
Well, there's no point in me continuing to try to persuade you to stay, but I sure wish you would.
No, John. No point at all. Seems like everything I've tried to do since coming here has backlashed on me.
Well, now, Frank, I have to take issue with that statement.
I thought you weren't going to continue your pestering me to stick around.
Frank, you're not a quitter, and neither am I. I didn't build this bank by folding every time someone said no. You've done a lot of good here. Don't sell yourself short on that account. Don't sell yourself short because a few malcontents aren't willing to admit you've done good. You'd only be lying to yourself and putting at risk all the good you've accomplished.
Frank looked up the street at the approach of a buckboard.
Here comes a lady who might disagree with you about that.
With Julie Wilson handling the reins, the buckboard rattled slowly to a stop in front of the millinery shop. She stepped down and walked into the ladies' store.
She didn't see you, Frank.
Could be, but I think she did. She just wants to avoid confrontation, that's all.
The gunfighter and the banker stood on the boardwalk and watched as the hired guns exited the general store, stuffed their newly purchased supplies into their saddlebags, and rode out of town, taking the southerly route.
I wonder where they'll go.
Anywhere there's a need for a hired gun, a bounty hunter, or a marshal. The West is settling down, but slowly. In 10 or 15 years, their kind, well, my kind, will be only a bad memory.
We're gonna get us a newspaper in heaven, Frank. I got the word yesterday. We're growing, changing with the times.
You're telling me.
I'll see you later, Frank.
All right, John.
John Simmons stepped back into the bank. Frank stood alone for a moment, watching the people of the town as they walked along the boardwalks. They greeted each other warmly, often stopping to chat for a time. No one spoke to him, though. Most walked past him, averting their gaze to avoid eye contact. Until two women walked right up to him. They had decided enough was enough.
Look at you standing there like you owned the town. How many did you beat and kill today? Why don't you get out and leave us in peace?
You stalk men, then you kill them. It is unconscionable.
Simmons was at Frank's side in an instant.
Ladies, please, Frank defends himself and us. Have you forgotten how he saved this town?
Frank looked at the banker, sadness in his eyes.
Won't be long now, John. Believe me, I've been through this before.
I'm sorry, Frank.
Don't be. Actually, I'm looking forward to some trail dust.
I'm really gonna miss you, Frank. However, not as much as the local undertaker and gravediggers.
Frank shook his head and grimaced at the doctor's dry and very macabre sense of humor.
For sure, Doc. Undertaker ought to have quite a collection of guns and saddles and boots by now.
Yeah, I heard about his latest. I'm getting mighty tired of gunplay in our valley.
George, did anybody ever tell you that you are sometimes a real pain in the ass?
Well, who stuck a bee down your drawers, Doc? Hell, I ain't said nothing but the truth.
I'm going.
Good!
Are you all right, Frank?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'll see you, man.
Frank pushed his way through the crowd and walked to his horse. He rode out of town, very conscious of the many eyes on him from the people gathered on both sides of the street. They were standing silently, staring at him. Frank got the saddle pack for the pack horse out of the barn and inspected the rigging. It looked all right. Wolf sat on the ground, looking up at him and wagging his tail in anticipation.
You're ready to travel, aren't you, boy? All right. Couple more days, we'll pull out. It's a promise.
Frank lit lamps in the house. The rooms were dark due to the many boarded-up windows. He fixed his bedroll, tied it tight, and packed his saddlebags. He packed his gear for traveling without any real sense of regret. He was ready to put the valley behind him. more than ready, really. When he was finished, he looked around the house, checking for anything he might have missed. The only articles left were those that would go into his pack saddle, and not many of those.
Just about all set, Wolf. Not much more to do. We're gonna find us a real home one of these days. I promise you that.
Back in the kitchen, Frank pumped a big pot of water for coffee and set it on the stove. He looked around. He would leave the dishes and most of the pots and pans for the kids.
I wonder if we'll ever see this place again. Do I give a damn whether I do or not?
He tried to convince himself he didn't. The coffee was ready, so Frank fixed a mug and went outside to sit in his rocking chair on the porch. He sipped his strong coffee and smoked a cigarette. Wolf lay down beside the rocking chair.
We almost made it here, Wolf. We came so damn close. But I think in the future, we need to look for a place about 25 or so miles from the nearest town. And don't make any friends. Don't get close to anyone. I think that's the trick. That's what we'll do. And we'll look for a small ranch where I can raise horses and run a few head of cattle. And mind my own affairs. Stay the hell out of everybody else's business. It's not asking too much, is it? Is it?
Where are you going, boy?
Colonel Traynor sat uncomfortably on the front porch as he drank a cup of coffee, enjoying the cool of early morning. Jules never stopped walking across the front of the mansion.
What do you care? I'm nothing to you.
I asked you a question. Don't get smart-mouthed with me. Answer me.
Jules did not reply. He walked straight to the barn, mounted a horse, and rode out of the compound.
Ah, the hell with you, then. Good for nothing, yellow little pup.
Jules headed for the town of Heaven. He'd by God show his father he wasn't yellow. He'd ride straight into that damn town and shoot it up. Maybe kill him some local yokels. Yeah, that was a good idea. The doctor, the banker, and maybe that damn lawyer, Foster. That would get his father's attention for a fact. Frank headed into town to get a slab of bacon for the trail. He had everything else he needed, and made up his mind he was pulling out the next morning. He'd say his goodbyes in town, then ride out to say goodbye to the kids and Julie. That would be it. He'd shake off the dust of this area. He'd already given the Appaloosa to Phil. Colonel Traynor had changed his mind about Jules. He and a crowd of hired guns rode after him. The boy might be a coward, but he was still a traitor. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when Jules rode into town. Frank was in the general store. Doc Everett was having coffee in the cafe. John Simmons was at his desk in the bank. Lawyer Foster was standing outside his office chatting with a friend. The druggist, Sam Bickman, was mixing some medicine for a customer. Reverend Philpott was lumbering along the boardwalk, savoring the thoughts of the horrible punishment that awaited sinners and the wondrous joy of those he brought to the ways of salvation. Julie was in her buckboard near the general store, going over a list of things she needed in town. The clerk at the dry goods store spotted Jules through the window as he rode into town.
What is that crazy Jules Traynor doing in town?
Damn it.
Frank instantly tensed as Jules dismounted and tied up at a hitch rail. Jules walked right into the more than ample preacher. It didn't move Philpott an inch, but the impact almost knocked Jules off the boardwalk.
What were you going, you fat tub of crap?
Watch your mouth, young man. You're speaking to a man of the cloth.
Go to hell, fat man.
Jules started to walk on. Philpott grabbed the young man by the arm and spun him around.
You need a good thrashing.
You stinking sack of shit.
The push sent the preacher stumbling backward. Philpott lost his balance and went crashing through a store window. Philpott struggled to get his weight up off the floor, all tangled in piles of men's long-handled underwear, breeches, and shirts.
Oh, help me! Somebody help me!
I'll shoot you. You fat pile of horse shit! I got it. I think I will!
Philpott was off the floor as fast as greased lightning. The customers would all later recall they never saw the preacher move that fast. The bullet gouged out a hole in the floor next to Philpott's ample rear end. Jules' next shot ripped through the floor between Philpott's feet. The preacher started picking them up and putting them down. Huffing and puffing like a locomotive with a full head of steam, Philpott charged through the store, several steps ahead of the store owner and the customers. He was out the back door in two blinks of an eye. Jules turned and put a shot into the barber pole across the street. The red and white striped pole began spinning wildly. The barber and the man in the chair both hit the floor. Jules walked out into the middle of the street, both hands filled with .45s, and started shooting. Julie fell out of the buckboard and landed on her rear end in the street. She scrambled under the buckboard, managed to get up onto the boardwalk and into the general store. Then she spotted Frank.
Do something!
Really? What do you want me to do, shoot the kid? Thought you wanted me to hang up my guns.
Oh my God!
The clerk ducked beneath the counter. Julie gave Frank a very dirty look and dropped to the floor, crouching behind a counter. Frank walked to the door and took a look out. Jules was up the street.
You can all get up now.
The hell you say? That damn kid's crazy.
Go out there and disarm that person, Frank.
Why? I'm leaving. Good citizens want me out of their town, so I'm pulling out. This is none of my affair.
I can't believe you're saying that.
You want me to repeat it?
Oh, you're impossible, Frank Morgan.
I see you. I see you, Morgan. I'm gonna kill you.
Now that makes it my affair. Boy, put up those guns before you hurt somebody.
Hell with you, Morgan. Step out here. Face me, I'll holster them, and then we'll see who's the fastest gun.
Why don't I just say, okay, you win. Would that satisfy you?
Huh?
Jules sure enough isn't toting a full load in his brain box. Jules, I don't want to fight you. And you understand that? I don't want to have to shoot you. Go on, homeboy.
You get out here, you face me, Morgan, or I swear, I'll start putting lead in every local in this damn sheep dip town.
What would that prove, Jules?
Huh?
Jules, that would just prove you really are a coward. Nobody but a coward shoots an unarmed man or woman or child. But then you know that, don't you? That's what you do, coward.
I ain't no damn coward, Morgan.
Tell me, why doesn't someone in this town knock his legs out from under him with a shotgun?
How do I know? You shoot him. You're a gunman, aren't you?
Thought it would come to that.
Do something, Frank.
All right, sure.
Frank looked up at the north end of the street, just as Colonel Traynor and his crowd of hired guns rode into view.
Oh, here comes Jules' father. Maybe I won't have to do anything.
Jules, put away those guns, boy.
Go to hell!
You're making a fool of yourself, boy. Somebody's gonna kill you if you don't stop this right now.
Nobody's gonna kill me. This whole damn town is scared of me. I got them all buffaloed.
Morgan's in town. Yonder's his horse. Morgan, don't kill my son. The boy's addled some. He needs help. You hear me?
I ain't neither addled. You get out here, Morgan, and face me like a man. I want this done between us.
There is nothing between us, Jules. Not a thing. Listen to your father, boy. Go on back home.
Jules didn't like that.
That does it, Jules. I'm coming out.
Frank dropped his hand to the butt of the peacemaker, slipping it in and out of the holster a couple of times. He knew from long experience the talking was over.
Then get out of here and face me.
Frank took one step out of the store onto the boardwalk.
Kill that bastard!
Frank jumped back into the store, the door slamming behind him. Then he dove behind a counter filled with sewing notions and hugged the floor while the main street of town erupted in gunfire. During a few seconds lapse in the howling bullets, Frank jumped to his feet and ran to the storeroom, then out the back door. He stood on the loading dock for a moment, then jumped off and headed for the alley. Frank eased up to the mouth of the alley. Frank looked out and saw Jules down in the street, his legs bloody. He couldn't tell what citizen found the courage to pick up a gun and join the fight, but he would bet it was either Lawyer Foster, Banker Simmons, or Doc Everett.
Damn you to hell! I'll kill you, I swear I will!
Frank ran back down the alleyway and circled around, coming out at the far south end of town. He paused for a moment, catching his breath and listening.
Where is he? He disappeared.
Any sign of Morgan?
Not a trace.
Find him! Find that son of a bitch and kill him!
And someone drag my idiot son out of the street and carry him out of the doc's office.
You can carry that fool back to hell. Don't bring that putrid piece of coyote crap over to me.
And kill that damn doctor, too!
God damn, you got me that time. Hell with this. I'm out of here, boys. See ya.
You get back here, you coward!
Don't suck an egg.
I'm with you, Clayton. Let's get out of here.
Frank waited at the edge of the main street. Two down, at least, and two leaving. The odds were improving.
Morgan! I'm gone with them other boys! You hear me, Morgan? I'm getting my horse and riding out! Don't shoot!
Don't you quit on me, you yellow bastard!
Hell with you! I'm gone from the...
Trainer's Colt cut short Poole's reply.
Colonel, this is Bale. Me and Granville still with you.
Good, Bale. How about you other boys?
We're with you, Colonel.
Who is we?
Vance and Meeker.
Ah, good men. There'll be extra money for you after this is over. Anyone else?
Barker here, Colonel. I'm with you.
All right. Let's finish this, men. Get Morgan!
Frank listened to the men buy into this life and death game. He didn't know any of them. Never heard of any of them. He smiled knowingly. The more experienced gun handlers, the smart ones, were gone. He shifted positions and chanced to look into the street. Jules apparently was not badly hurt. He more than likely got hit with a load of birdshot. He had crawled unassisted to the edge of the boardwalk. He also managed to hold on to one of his pistols. Frank waited, not wanting to give away his position.
You men in town, stay out of this. When this is over, I'll pull back across the line. You can have your goddamn pigs, chickens, and potatoes. You have my word on that. I have never gone back on my word. You all hear me?
This is George Sutton. Now, I can't talk for everybody, but there's a half dozen of us in the cafe. We're out of it, and we'll hold you to your word.
Good man. You won't regret your decision.
He's a good man, all right. He and his self-serving, cowardly bastard friends.
Frank slipped to the rear of the buildings and began his move toward the center of town, pausing when he heard one of the gun handlers call.
Morgan might have slipped out of the town, Colonel. He ain't on this side of the street.
And he's on the other side of the street. He didn't leave. Morgan doesn't run. Check it out.
Frank heard footsteps behind him. He turned, his peacemaker raised. Barker spotted him, leveled his pistol, and opened his mouth to yell.
Oh!
Frank drilled him in the belly. Then he stepped up to the man and kicked his pistol away.
Who is that?
Barker ran over on the other side. Barker, you hear me? Answer me, Barker!
I don't hear nothing.
I think he's been hit.
Check it out.
Too dangerous.
Damn you, I said check it out. You work for me, you do what I tell you to do.
Then I don't work for you no more.
What's your name?
Meeker, and I'm going. See you, boys.
Bell, Granville, Vance, one of you check out the other side of the street.
I'll do it, Colonel. I'm closer.
Is that you, Bell?
Yes, sir.
Good man.
Frank drilled Bell before he got halfway across the street. Bell stumbled and fell face first into the dirt. Trainer emptied his pistol into the mouth of the alley, hitting nothing but air.
Get him!
Forget it! Me and Granville's hauling our butts out of here! He's all yours, Colonel!
You're all craven cowards! Worse than that yellow pup I have to call my son!
Jules stirred at that remark and managed to sit up by the boardwalk. He struggled to reload his pistol. Frank waited near the mouth of the alley. He was unable to see Jules from his position.
All right, Trainer. Down to you and me now. What's it gonna be?
You and me? You're nothing but a filthy rebel. A worthless gunhead not fit to shovel shit in Louisiana. You and me? I'll throw your carcass to the pigs, you coward!
That doesn't tell me a thing, Trainer.
What's he up to now?
Frank? Trainer ran across the street. He's in the store with Julie.
Shut up, you damn quack! You stay out of this!
Trainer stepped out of the store onto the boardwalk, pushing Julie in front of him. He had one arm around the woman's neck, holding her close to him for protection. Frank took a half step out of the alley for a better look.
You're the coward, Trainer! hiding behind someone without a weapon. Someone who can't defend herself.
Hell with you, Morgan. To hell with the people of this town. To hell with the farmers of these valleys. What did they do for you, Morgan? You defended them. You gave them jobs. You helped their children. You bought their goods. What did they do for you, Morgan? They told you to leave. You go ahead, call me a coward. But you're worse than a coward, Morgan. You're a fool. Every sod-busted, Bible-thumping ass in this town who used you and threw you away proved it. You're a fool, Morgan. You're heaven's fool.
Just let her go, trainer. And you, me'll step out into the street, settle this thing. Just you and me, how about it?
You'd like that, wouldn't you, Morgan? You're a professional gunman. I'm just a rancher trying to make a living. See, unlike you, Morgan, I'm no fool. I got where I am because I know what people are, instead of hoping what they might be.
Trainer, you won't get away with this. You've gone too far using Julie as a shield. People in this town will testify against you for this.
The bullet went wide, slamming into the building behind Frank.
Hell, Morgan! You think anyone in this town will testify to anything? Damn, man, you are a fool. As long as I'm tougher and stronger, none of these pant-shitting cowards in these valleys will testify to anything or do anything to stop me.
Think what you want, trainer. Just let Julie go.
Oh, yeah.
He's crazy, Frank. Something snapped in his head.
Just like his son.
Now who's the coward, Daddy? Who's crazy? I never hid behind no woman. You're the damn coward, not me.
Shut up, you half-wit!
Help me, Frank.
I help you, Miss Julie. I'll show you I'm no coward.
You? What the hell could you possibly do to help anybody?
This!
The bullet hit his father in the side and tore through the man, blowing out the other side. Colonel Traynor dropped his pistol and staggered backward, releasing his hold on Julie. He turned awkwardly and looked at his son as Julie ran sobbing back into the store.
Why, you miserable little...
That's funny, Daddy. I bet you can't do that again.
Frank stepped out of the alley and slowly walked toward Jules. He took the pistol from Jules' hand and stood looking down at the young man.
All right, Jules. It's over now.
Tell Daddy to get up and make me laugh again. Tell it for me. Will you, Morgan?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll do that, Jules.
Doc Everett ran up and knelt down beside Colonel Traynor for a moment. He looked at Frank.
He's dead, Frank.
Check out the kid, will you, Doc? Legs are a mess.
The townspeople began slowly gathering around.
We really wasn't going to side with Traynor, Mr. Morgan. We was just talking, that's all.
Frank looked at the man for a moment. The man looked away, refusing to meet Frank's hard eyes. None of the men or women who gathered around would meet Frank's level gaze. Frank shook his head in disgust. Frank handed Jules' pistol to Lawyer Foster and turned to walk away.
Where are you going, Frank?
As far away from here as I can get.
A few weeks later, winter's chill strong in the air, Frank stopped in Cheyenne for supplies, a bath, haircut, a drink, and a meal. Once he was spiffied up, he fed Wolf and walked over to the saloon for a drink. He spotted a familiar face sitting alone in the back of the bar. He took his drink and walked over to the table.
Hello, Drifter. Have a chair.
Hi, Pistolero. I hear a long way from the ranch.
I quit about a week after you pulled out. I'm heading home to see my parents, if they are still alive.
I'd hang up your guns?
As much as possible. You?
Just drifting. What happened after I left the valley?
Jules recovered from his physical wounds, but his mind is gone. He was sent to an asylum just as I left. He turned into a babbling idiot. We had to keep him in chains like a wild animal.
Mrs. Traynor and Jules' brother and sister?
Viola is a hopeless addict. Martha and Vincent are worthless.
Julie?
Already making eyes at the editor of the new paper in town. And the town is going to change its name. I don't know what. Who cares?
Not me. My lawyers will probably tell me when they catch up with me, that is.
So, our trails cross here for the final time, eh, hombre?
Looks like it.
I am glad you and I did not have to meet in gunplay.
So am I, pistolero. So am I.
But aren't you the least bit curious as to who would have been the victor?
Me, naturally.
So, today we will have a drink or two, then get something to eat, and tomorrow we shall say our goodbyes.
Sounds good to me.
I hope someday you find a place to hang up your guns, Morgan.
You as well, Ortiz.
The next morning, Ortiz headed south, and Frank and Wolf headed southwest. Northern Arizona was a good place to spend a few winter months. Maybe, Frank hoped, he would find a place where he could stay out of trouble.
A time to kill, and a time to heal. To everything there is a season.
Last Gunfighter, The Forbidden is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 2001, William W. Johnstone. Published by arrangement with Kensington Publishing Corporation. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2008, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Ken Jackson, James Konacek, Karen Carbone, Stephen Carpenter, Andy Clements, Christopher Graybill, Richard Rowan, Terrence Acel Ford, James Lewis, Michael John Casey, Michael Replogle, Mort Shelby, David Coyne, Michael Glenn, Thomas Penny, Dylan Lynch, Johann Detweiler, Elizabeth Demery, Colleen Delaney, Nanette Savard, Nathaniel Perry, Brian Patton, and Greg Reinfeld. Directed by Ken Jackson. Book adapted for graphic audio by Timothy Lynch. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Brian Patton. Original music by Johann Detweiler and Brian Patton. Theme title by Johann Detweiler. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. If you enjoyed The Last Gunfighter, be sure to look for the First Mountain Man series, available at road stops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free downloadable extras, forums, and podcasts. Read the Pinnacle Edition. Visit www.kensingtonbooks.com. Keep listening for previews of other graphic audio thrillers.
Available now from Graphic Audio.
Concentrate. Concentrate. And visualize a storm.
Graphic Audio presents...
What? What is this storm?
DC Comics.
This is a Code A emergency. Do you copy?
Justice League of America. Superman. The never-ending battle.
There is power that not even they can overcome.
Where is he?
I have my own reserves, fool!
Hello, Superman. If you can still hear this, you are in the final moments of your life.
Copyright 2008, DC Comics. Justice League of America, Superman, and all related names, characters, and elements are trademarks of DC Comics 2008. All rights reserved.
If you can't find that hot graphic audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.